Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in. It is the Tuesday, isn't it? Is it Tuesday?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not Wednesday, because Wednesday would be the first day of class.
That is right.
It is the Tuesday edition of The Drive. It just, a lot of these days seem very similar lately. Hot, hot, humid, oppressive thunderstorm. Man, we got a pretty good one a little while ago. And it is a good thing that Auburn football, tell you what, their weather forecaster, we may need to work up a deal with whoever the athletic department's weather prognosticator is, because this is a couple of times they have shifted practice around and avoided some nasty weather. Practice was to have been getting started in the 3 o'clock hour, late in the 3 o'clock hour, around now, as a matter of fact. And they pushed it back originally to around 6:15, but now it's going to be in the 5 o'clock hour. But hey, they can at least get something done, because it looks like the bad weather has moved on through them because of the change in the practice schedule. Let's see, initially, Dan was going to go to practice and I was going to be here, and we were going to check in with Andy Burcham, who is now our regular Tuesday 4 o'clock guest. Don't know if Andy would have, phoned in, but when it got moved from early, Andy, we saw earlier today when we had an opportunity to spend some time with the Auburn offensive coaches, said he would stop by the studio, and practice was going to start. The media viewing window, at least, was going to start at 6:15. So Dan and I thought, oh, good, we'll both come in, do the show. We'll head over to practice. Well, practice got moved up. The viewing window got moved up to 5:20. So Dan is joining us on Skype as he's getting ready for the viewing window in a little over an hour. And Andy will still be coming in. So we still have all the principles. It's just things moving around. It's sort of like a mini version of the musical chairs and floating dominoes that I play at this time of year anyway. Dan, how you doing, man?
I'm doing all right, Bill. I hope you're avoiding stress at this time of year. I know.
Hey, I had two more since I talked to you a little while ago.
Tell folks, if you will, about the lawn furniture in the yard that gave you frustration earlier today.
The wind was unbelievable. Well, it's my outdoor. The stuff on the front porch was in the front yard, and it was fine when I got home. I got home, it was storming, and I looked, and at least things appear to be in place. I mean, there's some limbs and leaves, and my pool is, every day I clean it, or it seems like every day I clean it, and then it's full of stuff. And I thought, everything's okay, and I was on the phone with Dan about to head to the station, and as I'm backing out of the driveway, it's like, what is that? Is that a big limb? Oh, no, that's the furniture. So I did that, got that back up on the front porch. I was able to fix that much, much easier than I've been able to fix our work schedule for the next few days. But it is what it is. We'll find out tomorrow. And you know what? I can always tell everybody, it's like, hey, it's my last time. Fix it.
That was tomorrow could be your farewell present.
It'd be like, hey, it's my last one. You've made it even tougher. Y'all figure it out. You think it's so easy? Go ahead and figure it out yourself.
Again, want to stress, because people get nervous when we talk about this, Bill. Your retirement from campus, your job campus. You're still doing the drive.
As far as I know, yeah.
Yeah, you're right. We're all day to day in this business. Looking forward to, assuming there's not a change to the schedule, looking forward to the viewing window in about an hour. I know you and Andy will take care of business in the second half of hour number one. We're going to have Jake Crane in hour number two, back in his usual Tuesday 5:30 spot. So you'll, I'll try to check in after the viewing window if there's still time in the show. If
you,
not,
you probably you probably could give us a quick shout there at the end after Jake's done, and the viewing window usually is up around 5:50 or so.
Yeah,
so
I'll attempt.
So maybe get a quick note in case. I mean, if there's anything worth mentioning.
Yeah, no, I'll attempt to. If not, we can we can brief folks tomorrow on what happened. But yeah, love again. A great day of access for the media to the Auburn. Today it was the assistant coaches on offense.
Yeah, and you were over with Carnell Williams and Marcus Davis. You had the skill guys. I had the bigger guys. We had Jake and the offensive lineman, and then we learned the pronunciation. Did Andy give you the correct pronunciation of our tight ends, Coach?
I think I'm right. Right, Igamawa? Is it?
Well, you've got the first part of it right.
Okay.
Andy asked Ben, and he said it's Ing, like an NG.
Oh, there's an Ing.
Igamawa. So okay, it's not a Mawa, it's a Moa.
Igamawa.
Yeah.
Ben Igamawa. Okay, I think I can get used to that. And he's somebody who people have very impressive things to say when they're asked about Coach Igamawa. So that's an exciting group, right? We talk about quarterbacks and running backs and receivers more than tight ends, but that's an exciting group of players this year. And the other guy you got to talk to,
yeah, Bill. Jake Thornton. I mean, I didn't send you that one yet because I didn't know if I could send you a file that long because it's about. I've got more than 15 minutes of Jake Thornton because he had some really good things. He talked at length about almost every one of his guys. So, I mean, some really good stuff from Jake Thornton. I may just run that here from here if we get a chance, run some of that. But, he talked about the battle there at guard. He talked about some of the young players. I think he feels pretty darn good about this year's offensive line. Feels pretty darn good about the future of Auburn's offensive line with some of the young guys that are already on campus as well. So, yeah, if we get an opportunity, we'll let you hear some of that as well.
Oh, certainly. No, so it was great stuff from the Auburn assistants. Quarterbacks weren't discussed as much on the side of the room I was on, Bill, because there's
Well, the quarterback's coach is the offensive coordinator, and he wasn't in there.
Exactly, and the quarterbacks came up a little bit with Marcus Davis, but I think he understands, he's going to focus on his guys and not I think it was he spoke in generalities when he talked when he gave his answer, but I think the other stuff, I mean, Marcus Davis was willing to tell us he went into detail about what's impressed him about shorter hooks. And Bill, did you come away from I told you a little bit, summarizing Marcus Davis's remarks. It seems like at the moment, things could change, of course, but at the moment, the four transfer receivers appear to be in line for quite a bit of playing time. If Auburn had a game tomorrow, I think you'd see Hooks, Shorter, Mardner, and Caleb Burton quite a bit.
Yeah, it sure seems that way. I mean, and we were talking a little bit after, just sort of catching up on what the other guys were saying, and it does seem like those four guys, Jay Fair and Javarius Johnson, have been the guys that have been the most consistent. They've been out there, and they've been able to get some things done. That's been a problem with a few of the guys, as we were talking yesterday, just being healthy enough to be out there on a consistent basis.
Something Marcus Davis said, it was in response to a question I asked that I found really interesting, was, he discourages people from thinking about these players as playing one certain position, right? They run the inside guys outside. They run the outside guys inside. They play matchups in this offense. And so, we've noticed Caleb Burton playing seemingly at every receiver spot imaginable. I think that could be expected of a lot of the receivers in the room. Not so much to be an inside guy or an outside guy specifically, but to be someone who can be a useful weapon however the coaches need to deploy them. And so, yeah, it sounds like those four guys, Caleb Burton and the upperclassmen, along with Javarius and Jay Fair, you know, they strike me as what the first and second team or what.
Yeah, your top six right now.
Yeah, that would be the top rotation if I had to guess. You know, when Auburn played a game right now, he did. I asked about Camden Brown because that's been a topic since Hugh Freeze revealed that he hasn't really been healthy. Though, you know, he's been battling nagging stuff all off season. And, you know, Marcus said there's, you know, kept the door open that Camden plays in the scrimmage on Saturday. And he talked about how he's not really worried about Camden Brown missing the mental reps. Like he's learning the playbook and doing what he needs to do in the film room and stuff like that. It's just injuries keeping him from being able to compete on the field with the other receivers. But when he gets the all clear, it doesn't seem like Marcus Davis is too worried about Camden Brown being really far back of the rest of the pack. Still keeps the, there's a chance Camden contributes, even if maybe he's not 100% up to speed opening day.
Yeah, sort of update as we mentioned, in case you didn't hear us yesterday when we were talking about some of the receivers. You know, Hugh Freeze talked about it after the scrimmage Saturday when he was going down through injuries. Malcolm Johnson's been out. Camden Brown's been out. Javarius Johnson has been out for a few days, but he said he'd been having a very good fall. Coy Moore has had a problem. His foot's been in a boot, and I heard Marcus say that, well, you know, they hope to get him back this week. So, I mean, you're looking at a few guys that just haven't been able to be out there. Javarius has until a few days ago when he had to get stitches inside his mouth. But the rest of those guys, it's got to be frustrating for them. And I know it's frustrating for the coaches, but, you know, they have to move on and get ready. There's time for those guys now. There's still time for them to come back and be able to get in there. But I think it would be beneficial. It would behoove them to be able to scrimmage this Saturday.
I think you're absolutely right, Bill. And I would add, Camden Brown, inexperienced compared to Coy Moore as a college football player. Coy Moore's been through multiple coaching changes. He's switched teams before. I would say, and I asked this of Marcus Davis, Coy Moore is equipped to jump right back in the moment he's healthy, because he's picked up a lot of the other stuff and he's done this before and he's a veteran guy. Camden Brown, you know, he's missing valuable time right now. Like this is a key development point for him that he's unfortunately missing because of the injuries. Hopefully he's able to get back soon and make an impact. But you know, I think Coy Moore, I feel like the moment he's healthy, there could be depending on how many other guys are already in the
and how much the other guys, if the other guys take advantage, it's going to be tougher to squeeze that much playing time in.
And then Malcolm Johnson Jr., just a star-crossed career so far, right? Like that's a guy who, and a outstanding representative of the team, like when he's in front of the media, and a guy they use on social media as a spokesman for the team. But someone who has just been unable to contribute on the field in a significant way, and he finds himself, you know, if this were a horse race, right, Bill? Like he's
a few lengths behind right
he's
now.
He's trailing. He's trailing the other guys right now. And I think since we mentioned almost everybody else, like Amari Kelly, just a lack of buzz at the moment. I don't know if that reflects on his camp or his talent or anything like that.
Did anybody ask specifically about him today to Marcus Davis?
I don't know if anyone in front, at least when I was there.
That's one thing. Sometimes there isn't, because the questions aren't asked. You do hear more about the guys that are asked about, but this time silence may not, you know, not hearing anything may not be great news. The only thing I'd heard, somebody said, one of the coaches said that Amari Kelly was one of Auburn's best downfield blockers. Now that is an important factor in being a receiver, but that's the only thing I've heard about him this fall.
And I think that's a position where when I get to campus, I'm going to be paying close attention to what looks like the first team today. Like I don't know what I'm imagining we're going to have. You know, it's still up in the air at some spots, but we could be getting a better idea of what first and second teams and what rotations look like. I want to see what receiver looks like today. And that leads me to a question for you, Bill, which is what other positions, you know, do you think this is a big week for the competitions on this team right now?
I think a lot of the other positions appear to be fairly settled. When we talked to Jake Thornton about the offensive line,
we'll do that.
Yeah, we'll get to our first break. Just getting underway here. Hour number one of the drive brought to you as usual by our friends at Kia of Auburn on South College and KiaofAuburn.com. Kia of Auburn, where you're always number one, and they're also the sponsor of our hotline. You can call us on that hotline, 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available however you listen to podcasts. Go to your favorite podcasting platform, search for The Drive with Bill Cameron, rate, review, subscribe. It helps us out. Or go to ESPNAU.com and use the podcast center. That's all presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors.
Right back as we continue here on the Tuesday Drive.
At Dixie Electric,
ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Tuesday afternoon. Bill and Drew in the studio. Dan is Skyping in. We've got a call we'll get to here momentarily on the Kia of Auburn hotline. Dan, where were we when we were talking? You were about to ask another question, I think. We got Dan?
About receiver as one of the spots where the rotation could be tightening after the second scrimmage. Other places on the team where that's true, where it could be, where the position battle, you know, could be narrowing significantly after Saturday's scrimmage. We've talked about linebacker as a place where, you know, right now there are four guys.
Yeah, I think those four are pretty much entrenched as the four, and it's not as – I don't think it's as critical at linebacker or at receiver. You'll see guys come in, rotate in and out. Obviously, the position everybody's interested in is quarterback, and you know we hit the 10-day mark, and Hugh Freeze told us Saturday that he had his mind made up, but then he wanted to go back and look at the film. I think it'd be interesting just to watch today, see how they rotate the quarterbacks. I would imagine all three of them are still rotating pretty much equally. I don't know if you'll have enough time to watch and see all of them rotate through, but still it wouldn't hurt just noting the order today. I would say that after this coming Saturday scrimmage, that will definitely be down to a two-man race.
Where do things stand at tight end? You talked to Ben.
Yeah.
Angamawa.
Oh, come on. Andy is in here. Okay. Did I give the right pronunciation a while ago, Andy? Andy was listening.
Angamawa.
Angamawa.
Angamawa. Okay. That's how I understood it from the man.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, yes, one thing he said he has two different types of receivers. He said he has Rivaldo and T, that's Tyler Fromm, are the guys that could split out. And then he has B, that's Brandon Frazier. He goes, B and Luke are the H backs, and then the youngster. And I'm blanking.
Micah.
Yeah, Micah. Riley. Micah is working a little at both, but he's a little more of an inside H-back type guy right now.
I talked with Marcus after you guys did. No, I talked with him before.
Mm-hmm.
Because
I was over with Jake Thornton. I didn't get to hear much of Marcus.
Marcus came to me first, and I asked him about stretching the defense. He said three. He didn't list them, but he said he's got three he feels that can stretch a defense up a seam, stretch the top of a deep. And I wonder if Micah is a guy, the third guy there at that spot.
Probably. Oh, he'd have to be.
I don't think there's any question that Rivaldo is the guy that they may play. And Dan, you were just talking about it before the break. He may, you know, you talk about some receivers playing all over the place. I think Rivaldo could be playing all over the place as well for Auburn in addition.
Andy Bertram, voice of the Auburn Tigers, coming into the studio, as he will each Tuesday.
Hello, Andy.
Hello, Dan.
Great to talk to you.
I didn't realize you weren't in the studio. You sounded terrific. I was surprised I didn't see you here.
It's a compliment. Andy, you always sound terrific.
Thank you.
And Tyler Fromm would always be, you know, he's somebody we've also seen split out wide and do some of those things too. So I think I was intrigued by Marcus's answer about the notion of inside receivers and outside receivers and how, you know, the versatility is really, it's really stressed on these guys, especially when you think about the pace they want to play at. I don't think they want to constantly substitute. They'd love for guys to be able to match up at different spots. And yeah, there's some interesting, I mean, Brian Battee seems like a guy who would also fit in as someone we could probably see lining up at a lot of different spots on the field. He's had a quieter fall than some of the other guys. I don't know if we've talked about him or heard his name as much as some of the other skill position players, but he had 1,200 rushing yards last year at USF. I mean, this guy is and was one of the first targets they had in the portal. I mean,
He's going to be a big factor, and that's another one. I want to make sure we get his last name pronounced right.
I will ask him as
because
I
because who called him? Somebody called him Batty the other day.
I believe Camden Brown called him Batty
said he's his roommate. I think.
Here's the thing about Batty. I think that's how that's what we're going to go with today. We'll find out. Is we haven't seen much of the special teams yet.
Right.
And
he's an All-American returner.
That's where he may be that may be where he makes his initial impact is in the return game, both kickoff and punt.
And part of the reason for that is because of the emergence of Damari Alston. Because I feel like maybe there'd be more plays in the backfield if Damari had not had the strong offseason he had, at least from where we sit right now. I mean, I keep hearing folks cite him as one of the most improved players on the team. Coach Freeze talked about his election to the leadership council. I mean, Andy, what have you picked up on regarding Damari Alston?
I think he maybe took advantage of a vacuum that Jarquez Hunter wasn't a part of until just, you know, last week.
Well, he looked pretty darn good in limited action last year.
Right. And from all – and I wasn't at the scrimmage on Saturday either. From everything I gather, he had a very good first scrimmage, a long touchdown run. Or you've seen some of the social media stuff. Brad Law at the Auburn Sports Network is trying to come up with the nickname Deuces for Damari Alston, which is – that may stick. That may stick at least on the broadcast now.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. I'll say this, and I don't think we'll have enough time to run the entire Jake Thornton.
I do. I want to hear your version of it too.
But because Jake Thornton was asked about the running backs and Damari Alston, and he said he has as much or as impressive a burst as any running back he's ever been around. And there was, you know, Ole Miss had a pretty good running game. That freshman from just down the road is a pretty good running back.
And he's 5'9", but he's also 206.
Right.
He is a thick 5'9" that has that kind of burst of speed. Mm-hmm. And I didn't notice it until I was standing behind him at practice the other day. And he was off to the side. I think they were working on his helmet or something like that. And I'm like, he's a lot bigger than I thought.
Yeah. Yeah, you see him from a distance, you don't realize.
Right, exactly.
Camden Brown talked about his ability to, and one of the things Damari's improved on this offseason, because they're close, you know, being, you know, they've formed a bond, I guess, over the past year or so. But Camden talked about how Damari is running lower, and it really gives him a chance to showcase that burst and that explosion. And I think it was the same interview where he talked about how Jarquez is something of a mentor to these guys now, which is crazy to think. It's only his third year in college football, but Jarquez has really stepped up his role as a teacher to the other running backs, and sometimes he'll see someone do something and recognize it as, you know, it's a move out of Jarquez's repertoire. And so yeah, I think it's cool to see that evolution. Jarquez was the other option at running back Now, seemingly, he's stepping into, you know, we spent most of the offseason thinking he was stepping into a starting role. Here comes Damari. Maybe it's more of a 1-2 punch than folks realized it was going to be.
Hey, these days, it's great if you can do that. I mean, running backs don't mind that. They want to get their yards, but, I mean, they want to save, you know, they want to save themselves for the league. And, I mean, you've seen quite a few teams use two, sometimes three running backs, and they keep those guys fresh. And if you have the talent, and I think Auburn does, I think they can very well do that. Dan, we're here at the bottom of the hour. You're going to
I can stick around for another segment.
All right, I'll tell you what. We'll get to our bottom of the hour break. We've got Yellowhammer hanging on. Yellowhammer, hold on. We'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Then you'll be up. Andy Burcham, along with Bill, here in the studio. Drew at the controls. Come on in and join us here on the Tuesday Drive.
And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Tuesday afternoon. It's looking a lot nicer than it did a couple of hours ago. My goodness, we've had some scary weather in the afternoons. It gets so hot and then just everything seems to break loose. But hopefully everybody came through it all right. Auburn football will be back on the practice field in a little while. Dan's going to be checking in there. Andy Burcham, voice of the Auburn Tigers here in the studio with me. And before we continue talking with Andy, let's get to the phone because Yellowhammer's been on hold for quite a while. Hey, Yellowhammer, how you doing today?
Hey, afternoon. Doing pretty good. I got two or three thoughts I was going to throw out there, and I'll tie them all together in the end. First, let's go back to the decade of the 70s. I know you suffered through it, just as I did. We got beat 9 times in a row by Alabama, but they beat everybody 9 times in a row, and there's probably a team or two that hadn't won since. And it was probably the greatest decade of college football ever. But during that time, we had Doug Barfield as the coach, and if he just had a defense, boy, we'd have had a heck of a team because his their offense was really good. Brooks,
it
Andrews,
was.
Cribbs.
Was.
And I remember after one game, Bear Bryant told Joe Cribbs, "I sure will be glad when you graduate." And it was such a good offense. I really big a big fan of the Veer. You might recall last year I was thinking that Harsin had the personnel to run the Veer. And that leads me to the final thing here. Do I recall correctly, it was maybe 3 months ago, you said that Coach Freeze calls his offense the Veer and Shoot?
I don't recall that.
Somebody said that, I thought, or I my hearing ain't the greatest.
I may have read that at some point in the past that's what he called it. I don't know.
Well, I think we have the personnel. We've got the backs. Robbie Ashford is certainly would make a good Veer quarterback. I don't know about the other two.
Auburn's got some backs now, yeah. Hugh likes to throw the ball a little more than you used to see it in the Veer. You know, in the Veer, you'd have maybe two receivers that would be out there ever. Auburn's going to run three.
I feel like the Veer and Shoot was a name people gave the Art Briles offense at Baylor.
I may have been talking about Philip. Then,
yeah. So maybe it has to do with the fact that you have a former Baylor offensive coordinator on the staff as the offensive coordinator, quarterbacks coach, and Philip Montgomery, who I've been really impressed with in the times we've gotten to talk to him. I imagine, you know, Andy, you've gotten to spend some time with Coach Montgomery, and that's guy. You can tell he's been a head coach before, but he also seems eminently qualified for what he's doing right now.
Well, and it's the guy that Hugh Freeze wanted.
Mm-hmm.
It's the one, he's the one, and he thinks enough of him that he says, at least right now, that he's going to be calling, Montgomery will be calling the plays.
Which is a big change for
Hugh
Freeze.
Yes, it is. I think Hugh reserves the right,
sure,
as any head coach does, including Coach Dye, by the way. But he feels highly enough about Philip Montgomery that at least at this point, Philip Montgomery is going to be calling that offense on September 2nd against UMass.
Yeah, I like what we've... You know, every opportunity we've had with the assistants, and you've been able to spend a little bit of time with them. It obviously is a very hardworking recruiting staff.
Unbelievable.
And they really seem to mesh well together.
I agree. on both parts.
Mm-hmm.
Auburn has obviously hit the recruiting trail and hard. And one of the things that impressed me the most out of Hugh Freeze early on was not only was he hitting the transfer portal to try and transform this roster, but he was forming that coaching staff. And it wasn't, he didn't try to do it as quickly as humanly possible.
Yeah, there were a lot of fans that had all kinds of angst because when is he going to fit?
Right. He had the guys that he wanted. Obviously, they all can't or won't come at the same time. I think he showed some patience in getting this staff together and still bringing players in. And then when they're here, then all of a sudden the emphasis starts to move from 23 to 24 and to 25 and beyond. And they seem like they've gone from a transfer portal squad for 23, and now we've seen what they're starting to do with commitments for 24 and 25.
Yeah, I think as the years go as the years go by, it will be more high school with filling in from the transfer portal. But most likely this year, because so many of the transfers have 1 year of eligibility, they'll have to hit it again. Maybe not quite as hard, but they'll still have to hit it again pretty good after this year.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I'm listen, are we ever going to see a year where the transfer portal isn't an important part of your recruiting class?
It's hard to imagine for anyone now.
Right, exactly.
I mean, because nobody has the perfect roster.
The one team that I saw last year when I was doing my spotting boards that did not have a lot of transfers on it was Georgia.
Georgia.
That's
right.
The one.
That's right.
Well, I'd say the personnel that he has would dictate what he can do as far as what his offense will be. And so maybe there won't be a lot of Veer in it, but the good thing about the Veer is there are multiple backs, and you can attack left and right on the corners. And the other good thing about it is I don't see why we can't pass out of the Veer.
Well, I do think, I mean, that's one of the things we've talked about over the last few days, and appreciate the call, Yellowhammer, is that when Hugh Freeze and Philip Montgomery have been talking about balance, Andy, they talk about not necessarily in the number of attempts, but being able to be balanced enough so that if a team is overplaying one, you can do the other. If they've got 7-8 guys in the box in, then you're going to be able to throw and you're going to be able to make plays throwing the ball. If they back off a little bit, then you're going to be able to run. So that's what they want to be able to do. And like Dan was talking a while ago, I think they are looking at personnel in different spots so they can line up in different places without having to make substitutions.
It seems like avoiding, being multidimensional, right? Avoiding getting boxed into where your offense can only do one thing is crucial for this team because, you got to avoid predictability on offense, and Hugh Freeze has done an excellent job of that in the past, keeping defenses off balance, off guard with what his offense is throwing at them. And we'll see if it lines up for him this year, but his offense has the potential to do that this season, especially if they get the right production at the right spots.
You talked about pace. You asked about pace last week, Dan, and I think it was with Coach Montgomery during his presser. And then I, in talking with Coach Thornton today, and Bill, I'll be interested to hear if he said the same thing with the group that you were with. We talk versatility at tight end. We talk versatility at tailback. We talk versatility at wide receiver. And he talked about versatility with his line.
Yes, he did.
And I think those middle three especially could and may play all three of those positions. At this point. Now, exactly who that's going to be is a guess.
Avery Jones is the center.
Yeah.
He's the starting center, but he wants to have people ready anywhere because you can't count on everyone playing every snap.
Well, and we know what it has been like in the years past when Auburn didn't have depth on the offensive line and how dire that can get. I don't think that's the case, at least right now, with that offensive front.
And I wonder, too, if you're playing at 2:30 in a couple of weeks, if you're going to want to go to the bullpen early with the offensive line and not overtax those guys.
Hugh Freeze talked about it after Saturday's scrimmage. He felt that early on the offensive line had the advantage. He thought they faded a little bit. And they were playing – what time did they scrimmage last Saturday?
Saturday morning.
Yeah, Saturday morning.
It was around 9:30
or so. So I think that's an issue right now. It's going to be an issue for everybody. You think it's not going to be an issue for UMass coming down here?
It's going to be an issue for people in the crowd.
It's going to be an issue for everyone there in the stadium.
Exactly right.
Oh, man. Dan, hey, again, practice window in about a half an hour over there. So what are you planning on looking for?
You know, I think we were talking earlier about receiver, and I'm curious to know if what we think of as the first team or the second team or the rotation has changed there. We were discussing the struggle at linebacker or the different guys jockeying for position among the candidates at linebacker, and it's hard not to watch the quarterbacks and see what could be going on there. It certainly feels like we're getting closer to being able to feel confident about the two deep and the Bill Cameron depth chart starting to be written in pen. Fewer changes day to day, right, Bill, to what you're projecting for the season.
Yeah, Andy's got his. I'll match mine against his.
I've changed my offensive line almost daily at starter.
I changed my receivers more than I changed the offensive line.
It feels, you know, Bill made this point earlier in the week. You know, we heard positive stuff about a few of the reserve offensive linemen coming out of the scrimmage. You know, I think someone may have name dropped Too Tall Miller, and it's just hard to imagine that there's, you know, much question because we've seen Gunnar Britton playing first team virtually the whole time the media has been able to get out there. But I do wonder if, you know, how solid those starting spots are. But yeah, guys like, certainly at guard, right? Like you've got multiple guys that could be starters or called upon early. So yeah, offensive line's another spot where I'm curious to see, how it's taking shape.
Dan, have a good time over there. At least it should be a little cooler. It's a little more the weather is a little more pleasant than it was if you'd been out there. Oh man, if we'd tried to go out there at 3 o'clock, first of all, wouldn't have been able to do it. If we'd gone out there at before then, just walking back to my car, I was struggling. So
a few of us might not have made it, Bill.
Yeah, I don't know. All right, so if you get a chance, give us a holler after the viewing window. Hopefully that'll be before the end of the show.
Outstanding. Looking forward to talking to you guys again soon.
All right, we will get to our final break here of hour number one. Love for you to join in. Final segment with
ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back in. Final segment of hour number one here on the Tuesday Drive. Andy Burcham, voice of the Auburn Tigers, here in the studio for a few more minutes. Our thanks to him joining us. So, Andy, you mentioned, and folks are going, Andy, how could you not be at the scrimmage? Tell everybody where you were.
Yeah, I was given the opportunity to introduce Rye Bramblett, make the introduction to Rye Bramblett for the Alabama Broadcasters Association Hall of Fame.
That's great.
So Jan and I went to Ross Bridge there outside Birmingham, and his Rod and Paula's children, Josh and Shelby, were there. They were there to accept the medal that is bestowed upon all of the Hall of Famers. Tom Roberts from the Alabama radio crew was among those that was inducted as well. So that was the reason that was one of the few reasons. I would not make a scrimmage. I will get to go to the scrimmage this Saturday, and then Friday afternoon, our whole crew will be out at the Auburn Tigers Unlimited donors luncheon, and we'll have a chance to speak with the donors. Really looking forward to hearing what Will Herring and Jason Campbell, perhaps Ronnie Brown, Paul Ellen's going to be back with us.
Great.
after a year away. So looking forward to having those guys in, and we'll have a little meeting afterward, and then some of us will head to that scrimmage on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, it's 2 weeks from Saturday.
That is
the opening game.
Yeah, it gets a little scary at this. It's exciting and scary all at once because you've got to get everything ready for that first broadcast. But there's nothing like – and I talk when I speak, and folks ask me about memories. There's nothing like an SEC football week. And, Bill, my first game at Auburn was Tennessee 1988. The Reggie Cobb almost decapitation.
Right.
It'd be a flagrant now.
Oh, yes.
That was my first experience of Auburn football. It was my first SEC football game. And I'd heard about it. I'd never experienced it.
You picked a good one.
Well, I did. It was just timing at that point. But it made an instant impression on me. And just not just the game, just the spectacle,
the
of
atmosphere,
a football weekend.
Everything. Yeah. Yes.
So I look forward to that and football Friday football luncheons and, you know, family coming into town and trying to find tickets for everybody. And
oh, that's right, tickets just were sent out yesterday.
Jan got our season tickets yesterday. So there you go. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, it is great. It is a fun time.
And there is excitement here, and I get asked this a lot.
Legitimate, though. I really do believe.
I agree. And listen, we don't know what this season's going to be like.
No.
I think, you know, Coach Freeze still tries to temper the expectations of this team, and you're still playing in the SEC West for one more year, and you still have Georgia and Alabama, oh, by the way, on your schedule.
At least you got them here.
Yeah, thank the Lord for that. But there is genuine excitement. I think we've seen that in the season ticket sales. I think we've seen that in the fact that a Samford game is a sellout.
Right
now. Who would have thought that in the past? A Samford game would be a sellout at Auburn. And I won't be surprised if Mississippi State, perhaps New Mexico State, don't pick up sellouts if this season goes as we hope at this point. So, yeah, there's some excitement here, and I think it's a genuine excitement too.
And you're right. I mean, Coach Freeze has you know, cautioned folks, we're better. There's no question. Auburn is better, but you don't know how much they have bridged the gap. But it's exciting to think about.
Yes, it is.
Because the change has been dramatic. 334-321-1390. We've got a few minutes left here in hour number one. Let's get to the Kia of Auburn hotline. And John. Hey, John.
Hey, good afternoon. I had a question. I got my season tickets yesterday as well, I think. And I saw somewhere that the first game was scheduled for 2:30. Is that correct?
Sadly, that is true.
I may have to donate those. But and one other thing.
Hey, I did see now. I did see this. Now we'll see if this is right. But supposedly, after this front comes through here, it's going to be about 8 to 10 degrees cooler with much lower humidity. I could handle that a whole lot better. 90 with say 60% humidity. That's a whole lot better than 97 and 90% humidity.
It's still going to be hot.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah, brutal. But about the offense. So is this going to be more of a Baylorish type offense or his Ole Miss type offense? Do we know?
I think it's going to be more of an Ole Miss type. It's Hughes' offense, but he's going to let Phillip Montgomery call the plays. I think they think a lot alike, and I think both of them realize the talent that they have and they want to use.
I think pace is going to be a big difference from what we've seen the last 2 years.
Oh, you're right.
I don't think we're going to.
When you said they were looking for the personnel to keep on or run formations with the same personnel, if they can do that, that was a Gus Malzahn thrived with those type players when they didn't have to come off the field.
Oh, yeah.
So hopefully that's the case this year. But I appreciate y'all's time. Thank you.
Appreciate the call, John. Yeah, and that's one of the things that Coach Freeze was talking about. When he called off the pace, that's when the defense was really sort of able to catch their breath and then take over.
He's not afraid to challenge some guys, is he?
No.
And do it perhaps through us. And then let's see if they respond.
I love the fact you ask a question, he'll give you
he's pretty honest
the answer.
About
yeah.
it. I will be interested to see how he is on Tiger Talks, which starts a week from Thursday.
Oh, that is great.
Yeah, a week from Thursday, we're going to be at the Waltos, the Walton Ginger for our first. It's a private event. And then the Thursday prior to the UMass game will be the regular home out at Baumhauer's Victory Grill. And I'll be interested to see how Hugh Freeze is in that setting. Is he as honest with us then as he is when he is doing a press conference?
I've got a feeling he will be.
I would be surprised if he isn't.
He is a people person.
Straight shooter.
Yeah. Love it.
Yeah.
Andy, thanks again, man. It's always great having you here in the studio.
Thank you very much.
And I'll probably see you Saturday after the scrimmage.
We'll talk.
All right. We've got hour number two coming up. Love for you to join in. Jake Crane joins at the bottom of the hour. Dan will check in if he has time following the media viewing of football practice. Stick with us. Hour number two coming up here on the Tuesday Drive.
Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online. at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome into hour number two of the Tuesday Drive. Bill and Drew here in the studio. Dan joins us for the first half hour on Skype. He is over or heading over to the new football complex where Auburn will be practicing here in just a few minutes. And there's a media viewing window at 5:20. So we may get to hear from him again before the end of the show. Our thanks to Andy Burcham, voice of the Auburn Tigers, stopping in here for most of hour number one. And Andy is going to be a regular here with us on Tuesdays in the first hour. So hope you had a chance to hear Andy. If you missed any of that, check out the podcasts, which are sponsored by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, who also sponsor our text box. You can text us 334-564-1840, or you can give us a call on the Kia of Auburn hotline. Kia of Auburn, where you're always number one, and the number to get you through is 334-321-1390. Hour number two of The Drive, brought to you by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. We were talking in the first hour about, you know, today a media opportunity where we had a chance to sit down with the Auburn offensive coaches other than coordinator Philip Montgomery. And I think, let's see, while we have an opportunity, thought we'd let you hear some of the comments from Auburn offensive line coach Jake Thornton. That's an area that has been, you know, under quite a bit of scrutiny, and I believe the Auburn coaches and the players really feel like this is going to be an area that is much improved this year. And Jake Thornton spent a little time with the media and talked about his group earlier today.
Yeah, I feel the same way.
It's a lot, man.
Who'd be nominees?
Nominees? Yeah. I have to say Rod Wave.
Well, actually, that.
Yeah, that was not the Jake Thornton. I pushed the wrong button for that. So let's see if we can't get you the. We'll do that. I tell you, we'll do that in just a minute. I'll get that queued up right. That's the problem trying to do this as we wing through it. So we'll go ahead and get to the phone. And Greg, I believe, is up first. Hey, Greg.
Man, how you doing, bud?
Doing pretty good.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's about that time, man.
It's getting close. It is really getting close, I think. And people are more excited than they've been in a while.
Yeah, I'm going to tell y'all, I've talked to a few friends of mine. You know how it is, going for Auburn, you never really know what's going on, but I can tell you this, just judging off those, I don't know, we'll say last 7-8 years. When's the last time you had the competition where guys just didn't win by default? I mean, it's they can say what they want, all these preseason know-it-alls, know everything, and that, like, I don't know. People just don't know football. Now, I've been wrong before by a lot of things, too, don't get me wrong. But when you got a team, when you got quarterbacks, running backs, receivers, look, he's deep everywhere, and he's gonna have four quarterbacks every year. It don't make a crap who's in there. And you just think right here, think how good Bo Nix could have been if he'd had somebody pushing him. I mean, it's just the competition level throughout the roster. He's flipped it. I mean, like I said, there's no question.
I mean, there's much more competition. I also think there's some better coaching at some positions, too.
Well, that right there is exactly right. Being a competency, and you can tell, I mean, it was horrible. I've never, as an Auburn fan, just dreaded the weekend trying to watch them. I mean, I ain't never seen Auburn like that. You know, Auburn might have been down. They might have been a 6-7-win team. But you know what? The Auburn family was behind them. And this past 2 years, probably the worst I've ever seen in my lifetime. I hope I never have it again. Just as far as the feeling in the building and the kids and this mass exodus of kids leaving. And we're just sitting there taking, you know, we're taking guys that don't even have a Power 5 offer, you know. And when it gets to that point, I'm like, what are we doing? But freeze comes in, guys. I mean, I don't think that everybody realizes necessarily what he's doing. Just how he flips this roster like he done. You can't. I didn't see it coming. I'm just going to say I didn't see it coming. The momentum, you can tell all rivals. But you can get on any social media and anything. They don't like Auburn with momentum. And they ought not want to, because I'm telling you right now, Auburn's got the momentum going. And it's, and we're talking about a Coach Haney and Coach first daggum game.
That's right.
And they got these commits coming in. I mean, it's, the whole fan base, Auburn basketball, football, it's just – It's rejuvenating, and it's nice to actually look forward to a season where I honestly believe the coaching, whatever quarterback we got, I'm going to be honest with you. I mean, I'm a Robbie Ashford guy, me pulling for him, but I think Robbie, to be successful in the league, he's got to do something like Malik Willis did. He's got to be pretty confident in throwing the football. He's
right.
Got to be able to make
got to be much much better making the routine throws. I mean, he throws a pretty deep ball. He's got to be able to make those with pretty good consistency, and he also has to protect the football.
Yes, and you know he's top tier athlete.
No doubt.
But here's the thing: I honestly believe this. You know, more than any coach that I've seen around, just because the storm comes in here, everybody just assumes, okay, well he's the starter. That ain't the case, guys. I'm telling y'all. Everybody's listening out there. That ain't the case. Like you can say that. No, I'm telling you, Hugh Freeze is going to put the best one out there, and he's going to recruit the best every single year to come in there to try to beat you out. He wants to win, and whoever goes out there and does what you're supposed to do when the lights come on and does it in practice, especially, it's going to be the one that plays. And I'm just telling you right now, I think Thorne's a heck of a quarterback. I haven't really watched a whole bunch of his film, but he's a better athlete. And if Ashford can put a little bit together,
and
I'm telling you, that's Nick Marshallis. And you got some receivers, and they going to throw the ball this year. And if he can't throw the ball, yeah, Peyton Thorne's going to win. You know, that's just it is what it is, because it's a different area. But I'm going to hang up and listen to you, man. I just had to chime in a little bit. I ain't talked to you in a while. Hey, War Eagle, man, I hope you have a good day.
Good hearing from you, Greg. Appreciate the call. Yeah, and I agree. And that's one of the things Jake Thornton, we will get some of the audio from him, was talking about. He talked about playing two true freshmen at tackle last year at Ole Miss when they led the SEC in rushing. And saying, you know, it's about getting the best guys out there. And that's just sort of echoing what Greg was talking about. And I think we've got some Jake Thornton we can let you hear right now.
Over the summertime and asked them what their goals were as an offensive lineman, and now it's my job to hold them to that standard and keep us at that standard.
Two guard positions, you got four or five guys or so compete for two spots. Anybody stepping up there yet?
Yeah, I mean, I think Stutz has had a great camp. Just like in spring, I think he's done a really good job stepping in there and big dude. He's 340 pounds. He's experienced. He's smart. His football IQ is really high. So he's done a really nice job. Jalil Urban's done a really good job, too, the last three or four days there. Really stepped up, which has been a really, really good presence for us. And then Jeremiah and Tate on the other side battling it out. They've both done a really good job, done really good things. They're both competitors, and the toughness level is there for both of them. So they're both growing as well. And, you know, Jeremiah having not practiced in the spring, you know, he didn't get any reps there. And then Tate getting hurt, I think, in practice five, not having a ton of reps there. Both of those guys are starting to gel and starting to figure it out. So I'm certainly excited about the depth that we've created at those two positions.
Talk about Stutz. He's been here for a long time. Hadn't been a regular starter yet, but now he's in a position to. What does that kind of say about him being a six-year dude, finally getting the shot and taking full advantage?
You know, when Stutz means a lot to me. You know, in today's world where it's so easy to leave and go other places, you know, he stuck it out, and he's been through good and bad here. And in our room, man, there's not a bigger presence for what it means to be an Auburn offensive lineman. So, you know, his just every day when he gets in there, he's first one in, last one to leave, taking care of his body. And the trials that he's been through, injuries and coaching changes, and you know, trying to find his way for him to stick it out and still be here, that alone means the world to me as a coach and to the rest of those guys. And it's setting a great example for the younger players. Like, hey, you know, if you don't get what you want year one, you don't get what you want year two. Stick it out, keep working, and it's going to fall in your lap if you work hard enough for it. So, he's been a big time factor with us on and off the field.
He's at right guard.
He's at right guard. Yes, sir.
Have you seen the guys like D-Wade and Avery and Gunner who were here in the spring, have you seen them kind of progress this fall?
Yeah, so, you know, I start with D-Wade. You know, D-Wade in the spring, you know, he comes out there and he's a great athlete, so he's kind of out-athleting everybody. But as he's started to face better competition, he's really honed in on his technique and playing with better pad level, better hand placement. So he's really devoted himself to that part of his game, because now he can pair up technique with athletic ability, and I think he's got a chance to be a really good one. Gunner is, in my mind, he's a pro in every sense of the word. I mean, he takes care of his body. He does the technique we teach him to do. He's always up there watching extra tape because he knows he wants to be perfect in that area of his game. He's grown just in terms of his overall knowledge of how to communicate with everybody. What we're looking for, you know, he's the type of guy that he wants to know what formation we're in. He wants to know what the receiver's doing, what depth this route's at. I mean, he's always been that type of guy, and he's kind of flourishing in that way. And then Avery, just being more vocal. He's done a really good job this camp of being vocal. In the spring, he was trying to get comfortable, trying to find his place. You know, being a new guy, even though he's a six-year guy, he's trying to, you know, establish himself. And I feel like he's now trying to be more vocal and more in tune with being that vocal leader there in the middle, because we're putting so much on his plate at center.
Talk about the two new guys now with Sunda and Muskie. How are they fitting in?
Yeah, so Muskie, obviously with us all summer, tough, physical, really starting to develop his footwork, done a really good job, versatile. I think he can play four spots for us, just trying to find the best spot that makes him comfortable to continue to develop his mental knowledge of the game. But he's done a really good job through camp. I'm excited about him. And then Dylan, you know, it's been a whirlwind 2 weeks for him, you know, leaving his previous place and coming to us. And, you know, the first day he's here, he's, you know, filling out all his paperwork, and the next thing you know, he's in meetings and practice, and he don't know. I mean, at his previous school, the way we called passes was the way they called runs, and so he's trying to flip everything in his mind, and he's really done a good job. He's a tough physical kid, and he's something that I think we can build our future off of with him there, so I'm excited about both of those guys.
There's a lot of attention on Connor in the spring. Just in the fall, what have you kind of seen from him kind of taking that next step as a true freshman?
Yeah, so when Tate went down in the spring, we pumped him out there to guard. He did a good job. He was kind of relying on everybody around him to help make the calls for him when he was playing guard. Now transitioning in there to center, he's making all the calls himself, and he's becoming more consistent with that and more confident in what he's doing. That's the biggest part of his game that I think he's improved on. And obviously, with being a freshman, 17 years old, he's learning how to, you know, be a college football player, learning how to take care of his body, learning how to practice, how to take meeting notes, how to watch extra tape. So he's growing every day that he's in the building. So he's got an extremely bright future ahead for us, and he's going to be a big factor this fall for us as well.
So at Ole Miss, you had Michael Pettis start for you as freshman, right?
Yeah.
What's your philosophy of guys like that starting and playing? Yeah. A key role, young guys like that?
Yeah, so, last year at Ole Miss, both my tackles were both freshmen. And over the past couple of years, you know, I've had freshmen play for me. I've had a bunch of young guys earn all conference honors. And for me, it's the best five guys will play. And it doesn't matter if they're six-year seniors or true freshmen. I got to put the best five guys out there. And it's not a spur-of-the-moment decision. Like, we don't wake up one day and say, well, this guy's the best one. It's a body of work. How are they taking care of themselves? Are they communicating? Are they operating well in the walkthroughs? Are they taking individual time seriously? And so my philosophy is if you're the best one, you're going to play. And that's our philosophy as a team as well. So.
Coach said at SEC media days that you might have to change clothes at halftime.
Yeah.
You guys talked about that any?
Me and him have not talked directly about it, but I got a lot of phone calls and texts that day. So, if that's what works, that's what works. I'll bring an extra pair of clothes. It doesn't matter. So, he's the head coach. So if he tells me to change clothes, I'll do it. So we'll roll with it. But that was I was watching it live in my office when he said that. And then about 5 minutes later, all my buddies were texting and calling me, so I thought that was pretty entertaining. So,
how's this group respond to kind of the tempo that, you know, Phillip and Coach Freeze want to kind of roll with?
Yeah, they're, you know, it takes a little time to learn it. You know, even in practice in the spring, we're trying to install everything, so we're not playing as fast as we wanted to, and now we are. And so they've got to learn, and that takes practice reps. And it is a lot to do physically, but it's a lot to do mentally as well. They got to learn how to communicate fast, communicate clearly. There's no wasted words out there. They got to know exactly what to call and when to call it. They got to understand the defensive keys to get them into those calls. That's the biggest thing about tempo. And it relies heavily on that center. If we can get him, and they are both doing all three of them when they're playing that spot, they're all doing a really good job getting there. And we've started to play faster as they become more confident in what they're doing.
What have you seen out of Tuttle? Is he pushing Gunner at all at that right tackle
position? Yeah, Tuttle's had a phenomenal camp. You know, we watching him progress, getting stronger, body quickness, first and second step off the ball. He is definitely making his presence known out there. And, you know, he's doing a great job. He's being consistent, you know, day in and day out. He has had a really good first 10 days. You know, we'll see how the next 2.5 weeks progress, but he's doing a really, really good job.
Freeze mentioned E.J. Harrison today. This is somebody that kind of caught his eye recently. You said about him, but super young guy.
Yeah. E.J.'s doing a good job. He's very strong. He's very physical. Wants to be really good. He's developing the mental part of it, but he's had a solid camp. You know, he's when he gets his hands on people, he does a good job sustaining blocks, working on his pass pro. It's gotten better. You know, as he continues to develop, he's going to be a factor for us. You know, he's done a really good job this camp.
How beneficial is the depth? You've talked about some of these guys, Muskie, Dylan, Tuttle, guys that can move around a little bit. Be backups or be starters for y'all. How beneficial is that with some of those guys that are really versatile?
That's huge because, you know, this league is brutal physically. You know, you're playing 12 regular season games with, nine of those, eight of those being conference games. And every week is physical in this league. You play A&M and then you got to turn around and play Georgia and then you got to turn around and play LSU. And so for us to say, okay, we're just going to stay healthy with the first five guys the entire year, that's not going to happen. And so those guys got to be ready to play. And so having guys that create depth, that can push for jobs, it's competition breeds greatness. And it's something that we've been able to do this camp. And so just got to continue to do that, continue to hone in. How much better can we get over the next 2.5 weeks? And then how much better can we get during the season? The growth process of an offensive line doesn't start when you kick the ball off first UMass. It continues to develop all the way through the final game. And so I'm excited about what we have. We like every group, like every team in the country, we got to continue to work and continue to get better. We're not where we want to be, but it's 2.5 weeks till game time. We want to get there.
Start talking with coaches, game plan, and come up with a plan for the season. Are you gaining any confidence in the running game? You know, the running backs, the offensive line, you got tight ends, you got some bigger wide receivers. I mean, how do you feel about that group?
Yeah, I'm certainly excited about the running backs. I think that all of them have flashed. You know, Jarquez, obviously, we know what he can do. But Kamari's had a really good camp. Very dynamic, very explosive. In my mind, he's one of the most explosive guys I've been around. I've been fortunate to be around some good ones, but he's as explosive as everybody I've been around. Brian obviously adds a whole other dynamic to it. Sean's had a good camp. Coach Cadillac's done a phenomenal job with those guys. They're locked in, they're dialed in, they're reading it the right way, they're doing exactly what they're coached to do. So, and then tight end-wise, you know, all those guys are doing a solid job of, you know, understanding where to go, who to block, you know, the dynamic of what we're trying to do. So, yes, we're gaining confidence in the run game day by day. So,
that is Auburn offensive line coach Jake Thornton today spending some time with the media. And as you could tell, I mean, he went into just about everybody there on the offensive line. And yeah, the comments about Damari Alston, again, as explosive or more explosive than any back he's been around. So some great stuff from over at the football complex today. We need to get to our first break of hour number two. Love for you to join in. Jake Crane joins us in about 10 minutes. But until then, phone lines are open, 334-321-1390, as we continue with the Tuesday Drive.
Hey, y'all, listen up. This is Lee County Sheriff J.J.
and AU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Tuesday afternoon. Bill and Drew here in the studio. Dan over at the football complex. Viewing window should be underway. Auburn practicing again today, getting ready for scrimmage number two, and it'll be the final. You can only have two full scrimmages, and Auburn, of course, had one this past Saturday, have another one coming up this Saturday. There can still be some scrimmage situations, but you can't have that full, lengthy 11-on-11. So this will be very important this week. We've been talking about, you know, some of the battles for positions. Obviously, quarterback is the most, you know, highly visible. That's the one that everyone is, you know, talks about and wonders about. But Auburn's got competition at quite a few different spots. A much deeper team this year than last year. And that, as Greg was saying a while ago when he called in, I mean, the job that Hugh Freeze and his staff have done of building the depth on this year's team, I think, is just phenomenal. When you look at this roster, they've got a good two deep at least just about everywhere right now. I mean, receiver, as we were talking in the first hour, one of the positions where you wonder exactly, you know, how it's going to shake out, but I still think they feel like they've got about six. I know Dan spent a good bit of time with Marcus Davis earlier today. That the defensive front, you know, can Jalen McLeod and Steven Sings, Elijah McAllister, give Auburn pressure from the outside there? I like the interior of it pretty well with Marcus Harris moving in from end to tackle, Keldrick Falk really pushing for a starting job there at defensive end. And then in the nose, we talked to both Jason Jones and Justin Rogers. So Auburn's got some guys there. I mean, I think you can also look for, you know, Mo Nasilikite, Lawrence Johnson, Bobby Jamison Travis getting some playing time there up front. I mean, still wondering how much of a factor Zykevious Walker could be. Guy that came in very highly touted. Coaches have said he's having a good fall. We haven't had a chance to see that much of him. But yeah, a viewing window going on now. Dan may be able to check back in with us near the end of the show in the final few minutes. Auburn's been fortunate. One thing, we've talked about, you know, some of the guys missing time with injuries. But, you know, again, cross your fingers, Auburn hasn't had any serious injury up to this point. They've had some things that have kept players out of practice for a while, but nothing that appears to be debilitating or keeping anyone out for a long period of time. Jake Crane of Crane & Company going to be joining us in just a few minutes. We'll talk with him about, you know, football and recruiting. Auburn, you know, when Auburn waiting to see the announcement this weekend, I believe it's Saturday, Cam Franklin, the number one player in the state of Mississippi and one of the top defensive prospects in the country. I think it was Brian saying he is the number two on their side, on Rivals. The number two strong side defensive end in the country will be making his announcement as far as his commitment on Saturday, and it appears to be down to Auburn and Tennessee, and I think Auburn feeling pretty good about that one. Don't know when the big offensive lineman, DeAndre Carter, is going to make an announcement. Just sometime, I believe, before September, before Labor Day, is when the big offensive lineman from California is going to make an announcement there. But, yeah, Auburn doing, I think, a lot better. Yeah, Auburn feeling a lot better, looking a lot better, I think, than most people thought recruiting would be for 24, thinking it would have to be 25 before Auburn would really be a big factor in recruiting, but that doesn't appear to be the case at all. Let's get to Spector before we have to get to our bottom of the hour break. Hey, Spector.
Hey, I'll be quick. This California kid, the class of 24.
Uh-huh.
I understand he was here for Big Cat.
Yeah, he was. He's been to Auburn a couple of times, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, I see that we're one of three now. And the chances of getting him. Now, he is a left tackle. Is that correct?
Yeah, I believe that's just about where everybody projects him. He is a huge young man as well.
Well, my concern was that, you know, we're going to have our right side's going to be all seniors this year. And I was wondering if he came in, the guys on the left could work on the right, or was he going to be fitting in his left?
Well, a lot of guys that project as left tackles start off at right tackle. I mean, so it wouldn't be unusual to see him on either side. The other thing you got to remember is Dylan Wade is listed as a junior, but I mean, the rave reviews he has gotten thus far, everyone's saying, wow, he's so much better than anyone realized, and he's a guy that could be leaving after this year. He's eligible to go to the draft after this year. So, you know, Auburn may have a couple of spots open. That's why they're trying to build depth. That's one of the reasons Jake Thornton, who we were, you know, talking to a little while ago, was talking about some of the young guys that are working in there with Cinda and Muskrat and Isavian Miller and E.J. Harris and Connor Liu. You know, those guys should all be back next year. And hopefully Auburn gets the opportunity. It's not going to be like receivers and defensive positions where you're shuttling guys in and out. But you hope with the games that Auburn has here at the beginning, UMass, especially that you'd be able to get some of the young guys in there and get them a little bit of, you know, action and experience.
Yeah, I imagine this kid's going to make up his mind when we go out to California in our second game.
I think he'll probably have an announcement before then. I think most people are expecting him to do something before Labor Day.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, great. All right, good. All right, I'll let you go, Bill.
Appreciate the call, Spector. And with that, we'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Jake Crane joins me on the other side. Stick with us here on the Tuesday Drive.
Part of the drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back into the Tuesday Drive. It's Bill and Drew here in the studio. Dan is over at the football complex with a viewing window for the media going on right now. He'll try to check in before we run out of time here this afternoon. We're going to see how we can swap things out and each of us catch a little bit of the viewing windows as Auburn getting ready for its second scrimmage of the weekend this Saturday. And with that being said, let's get to the phone, though. It's time for our regular Tuesday afternoon guest here in the 5 o'clock hour. That, of course, Jake Crane of Crane & Company joining me here on the drive. Jake, how you doing today?
Man, I'm doing great, Bill. Always fun to talk to you, especially when we're this close to kickoff.
Yeah, 2 weeks from Saturday, really looking forward to it. As I mentioned, Auburn with its first scrimmage on Saturday. Sounded like from what we could gather, the offense had the upper hand early on. They backed off the pace a little bit, and the defense really took over. What have you heard? The thing everybody was hoping was that, okay, we'd be down to two quarterbacks. Doesn't look like that's the case, at least yet.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, timing's everything in life, and Peyton Thorne coming in after spring, this is his first real chance to put the pads on in this new system. It's one thing to learn the terminology when it's on the board and you're in the meeting room and going through walkthroughs and everything slowed down, but when you're having to think it at live pace, it takes a little bit of time, and it takes a little bit of time to develop chemistry when you're going at that speed, because you can't simulate that type of speed even when you're going through certain drills in practice. So I'm not surprised. You know, the way I look at it is, you know, it can either be a really good thing or a really bad thing. I mean,
right.
You know, you hear the talk about Holden Gariner, and look, I think the kid's got a bright future. I just don't think his time's right now. Especially in year one under a new coach, you don't get a second chance to make a first impression. But I wonder if a little bit of this has to do with maybe Robbie Ashford coming into his own a little bit. If he's a guy that can just be good enough throwing the ball in this system, he can cause a lot of problems and put a lot of pressure on defenses in different ways than Peyton Thorne can. But having said that, I do think Peyton's going to end up winning the job, but I do think we're going to see Robbie a little bit.
Yeah, I was when Hugh Freeze said that he had his mind made up on Friday, but then he'd have to look at the film. I think a lot of people took that to mean, well, maybe the number one position isn't secure. I took that more to mean his number three guy is still battling for that for the number two spot, for one of the top two spots.
Yeah, you know, and it's kind of an interesting situation. You obviously want to have that starter. You want to know that the team to know that voice, who's going to be out there the first drive, and it helps a lot with game prep. But there is some type of a little bit of gamesmanship, right, when you're the head coach and you're speaking on these things. You don't want to go ahead and kill any momentum if another guy's coming on a little bit who's progressing. And you know, I hope it is a competition because both guys are doing so well. Now, that's maybe a glass-half-full type of way to look at it, but I'm not able to look at the tape. I'm not able to see exactly what's going on. You know, the thing is, at the end of the day, playing quarterback is so much more than just throwing the ball, right, being accurate. That's a big part of it. That's why, you know, the term game manager that has negative connotations is one of the dumbest things we do in sports because you need to manage the game at quarterback. Are you getting us into the right play? Are you checking us into the right play? Are you calling the right protection? Are your eyes where they need to be when you're going through your reads mid-play? Are you opening up to the right side on handoffs and boots and things like that? There's so much more that goes into it outside of just throw the ball good.
Yeah, and something else that Coach Freeze was talking about Saturday after the scrimmage, he didn't seem happy at all with the play of the receivers. He said they'd had an incredible week of practice, but he wasn't sure if there were just missed assignments or there were loafs because he felt at times the quarterback, and he didn't say which one, would make the right decision, but the receiver wasn't in the right place. And if you're watching and you don't know what the play is, sometimes you can feel like, boy, the quarterback's really screwing up when it may be more on the receiver. And I think that's a position to me that's really interesting now is how the receivers are going to shake out because there have been three or four of them that just haven't been able to be out there because they can't stay healthy.
Yeah, and, you know, here's the thing. If I'm having to question whether or not you're loafing, then you're loafing. It's one thing to consistently run the wrong route. It's another thing to not attack every route the same way. You obviously want to keep the defenders guessing. But if there's any question about whether you're giving effort, then you're not giving good enough effort. So that's something that I think, you know, is concerning. Hopefully they get that out. Maybe it was a mixture of a little bit of missed assignments or guys getting frustrated, but there's no excuse. You know, effort gets you through the door. That shouldn't be something that just wins you a job. Everybody should be given effort. And, you know, at the end of the day, this receiving group, I think, has a chance to be special. I think the receiving group mixed with the tight end group, I know they've been a little bit beat up. It gives the other guys a chance to kind of get in there and compete and maybe build some depth. But they need to attack it the right way because this is a group that Auburn's going to have to count on because I think the offensive line, believe it or not, is going to be good enough to give the quarterback some time.
I was just about to talk about the offensive line. I mean, we had an opportunity to spend some time with the offensive coaches today, and Jake Thornton, you can tell he's excited about this group. And the running game, but the offensive line, I think this is going to be one of the bright spots, and it's a lot of Auburn fans are going, yeah, sure, I'll believe it when I see it, and we will have to see it, but the players that they have brought in, Dylan Wade, Gunnar Britton, Avery Jones is the anchor there in the middle, and Jake Thornton really likes some of the other guys as well. He raved about Cam Stutz and the fall that he has had. The battle going on at that other guard spot, the right guard spot with Tate Johnson and Jeremiah Wright, that one's still going on. But he feels like he's got some depth in behind those guys, too, and Jaden Muskrat and Dylan Senda, Connor Liu. He talked E.J. Harris. So they're building something there. And I was really struck, and I played the audio a little while ago. He was when he was asked about the running game, you know, he said, we know what we have in Jarquez, but he said he feels Damari Alston is the most explosive back that he's been around. And he said, and I've been around some pretty good backs. Yeah, there was a pretty good one or two last couple of years over in Oxford, Mississippi.
Yeah, I mean, that's music to my ears. And look, you got to be able to pave the way for backs to eat. And I think, you know, a lot of it is you're bringing in experienced guys. And are they from, you know, Alabama or Texas? No. But they've played in some big games. Go back and watch Avery Jones's film. Go back and watch Britton's film. Go back and watch these guys at Tulsa. They've played against some high-quality defensive linemen and in some big games. So they're not going to be afraid, and it's going to be such a breath of fresh air to see Auburn not get run through like Swiss cheese on the offensive line and be able to line up on third and two and actually go downhill and it not just be a guessing game. And look, that breeds confidence. That breeds confidence through the whole team. And the biggest part about that is it makes the defensive line better. When you're going against good players in practice, people always ask me, Jake, how do these freshmen in Alabama and Georgia and LSU, how do they just show up on the scene and be able to play? Well, when the best players you go against are in practice, the game's a whole heck of a lot easier. So you're going to see some reward on that end. And I will continue to say that the biggest question I have about Auburn going into this year, outside of quarterback, which, you know, if you don't return a proven guy, there's always going to be that question, is pass rush. And I think you may see dividends that get paid during the game defensively on third and long and predictable passing downs because the offensive line is so much better.
Jake, you've known Hugh Freeze for a little while, and some people are just surprised. We talking with Andy Burcham a little while ago. I mean, just the job that Hugh Freeze and this staff have done in stocking this team, building some depth while able to go out and recruit as well. I don't know anyone that expected the 24 class to be looking the way it is now with all the effort that had to be spent bringing the players in to try to make the 23 team respectable.
Yeah, I think it's been incredible. It's amazing. I think Auburn, and this is why I wanted Hugh to get the job so bad, and all those people that were bad-mouthing him that all of a sudden now are the biggest Hugh Freeze fans in the world, those tell you who the true Auburn fans are, but that's a story for another day. You know, when you look at Hugh Freeze and Auburn, I think it's a great combination of obviously a place like Auburn where you know you can win, a place that isn't afraid of the big dogs because they consider themselves a big dog. You have a hungry fan base, and then you have a head coach that understands what it takes to win at this level, and he's getting a second chance. He saw his professional life flash before his eyes, and that does something to people, right? I think we see that in all walks of life. But, you know, you have a head coach that cares about recruiting, that is one of the hardest working recruiters. I mean, Nick Saban's the greatest of all time. He's out there on the recruiting trail all the time. Kirby Smart's won back-to-back national championships. He's out there recruiting as hard as anybody as a head coach. But if you go back and look at Hugh Freeze's track record, the man's won everywhere he's been. His downfall was self-inflicted. Mm-hmm. So this isn't some sort of, oh, well, Hugh Freeze must have just figured it out. No, Hugh Freeze has known it. He just got in his own way. And he's at a place now in Auburn where you cannot just get hot. You can get white hot. And if they go out and have the year that I think they're going to, if they can go out and go 8-4 and show progress, I tell you what, the orange and blue is back, baby.
And they're really stocking things up well for the future. Picked up a commitment from T.J. Ashley this past week, now waiting to see if they can get the top player in Mississippi this weekend in Camp Franklin.
Well, that's how you bridge the gap, right? It's not just about wide receivers and running backs and DBs. If you want to be able to bridge the gap, you got to go get the guys up front because at the end of the day, that's what decides the game. The offensive line and the defensive line, they're the engine that drives the car. They're the heart and the body. You can have just above average skill players and be great up front and win a championship. You can't be above average or average up front and great outside and win a championship. And that's the reason the SEC dominates the sport is because they're better than you and deeper than you up front.
Yeah, and those guys up front are more talented on the teams in this conference than they are anywhere else that you're going to find. So no question
That's
about
true.
That. Hey, Jake, before we run out of time, a little bit of a disappointment for Auburn basketball as, you know, a week ago, it didn't appear that Auburn was the leader for Flory Badunga. By the end of the week, the story had changed, so it felt like a disappointment in, first of all, don't ever try to play another basketball game outside in Atlanta in August.
Oh my goodness!
I mean that's just
what politician's son had that idea?
Nobody who'd ever been outside in this kind of weather, you know, lived in the South at this time of year. But anyway, there some people are lamenting, and it's like, oh, this is terrible, and it is. It's tough, but it's not like it's not like you lost them to a nobody that you'd never heard of, nor that there are no other options for Bruce Pearl and his staff.
Yeah, you know, I think two things can be true at once. Obviously, you see the way that Nate Oates and Alabama's recruiting, and you felt like Auburn kind of needed that because Nate Oates, I mean, they've been kind of running Auburn, let's be honest, on the court and off the court. And you kind of felt like this would be Auburn kind of getting back a little bit. And then on the other hand, listen, I'm not one of these people that's like, oh, man, well, you know, at least Auburn got close with Kansas and Duke. That's a loser's attitude. You can tell that's not what Bruce Pearl thinks. That's not what Stephen Pearl thinks or Chad Pruitt or any of these guys. They consider themselves the best in the business and never as hurt as anybody about not getting that kid. But at the end of the day, it's recruiting. You're dealing with 17 and 18-year-olds, and Auburn's in on a ton of players, and it's never over until they sign. So, look, it's tough. You got to move past it. It's not the first time. It won't be the last time. You just got to get more of them than you lose.
Yeah, and I believe Asa Newell is another guy that's out there as a possibility. I mean, they're definitely more big names that Auburn will be in on and have in.
How about Pettifer? How about that kid? I mean, that, you know, that kind of lost in the shuffle. That kid is a stud.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, Auburn basketball, there's still a future. There's still a chance for Auburn basketball.
Johnny Broome's coming back. I'll take that proven commodity right now. Thank you.
Oh, no question. Jake, before we run out of time, let everybody know what you got coming up and of course, how they can access it.
Man, we are so deep in college football right now. We released our preseason top 25. You know, preseason polls, they're kind of whatever. We're going to know a lot more when we start doing power rankings during the season. But if you love college football, we have Tim Brando on tomorrow. We have Brandon Marcello on today. We're talking everything college football and the NFL. We go live each weekday morning, 6:30 a.m. to 8 a.m. Central. We're almost at 100,000 subscribers on YouTube. So if you get a chance, if you like what you hear, head over to YouTube, type in Crane & Company. It's C-R-A-I-N-N Company. Go ahead and hit that subscribe button. We do live calls and have a live chat. It's a lot of fun, so come hang out.
Great stuff as always, Jake. Thanks, man. Have a good week.
It's always great, man. Talk to y'all next week. Game week, baby.
Absolutely. Jake Crane joining us as he does on Tuesdays. Need to get to our final segment. Might hear from Dan if the viewing window is open as we wind things down here on the Tuesday Drive.
Here, First Baptist Church of Opelika. Well, this week was a watershed week in the world of sports.
Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive at espnau.com.
Final few minutes of the Tuesday Drive. Our thanks to Jake Crane joining us as he does every Tuesday. And if you missed any of Jake or any of the show, check out the podcast wherever you get podcasts, and they're sponsored by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. Lots to talk about Auburn football practice today. It says that we had an opportunity to spend some time with the players. Let's see. Hugh Freeze meets with the media again Thursday. Auburn off tomorrow, and that's a good thing because it's the first day of classes on campus. Man, can you tell? Traffic is unbelievable. And again, I'll get on my little thing. Please, those of you on those little scooters, realize that the lights and signs apply to you as well. Somebody's going to take one of them out. Not intentionally, probably, but it may happen because those things they get around rather quickly. And one other little gave some advice to some students today that were crossing the street there at 320 West Mag, you know, where Chick-fil-A is. Push the button on the crosswalk because there was a big truck parked in the middle of the road. And so you come up on that intersection, and I realized there could be somebody stepping out from behind that truck, and indeed three did. And the car that was coming the other way nearly got them. And it's like I politely, of course, said push the light, push the button. It makes the lights blink so you won't get run over next time. Yeah, first few days of class is a mess. And we'll be all up in it tomorrow. And, of course, be back. Dan, we'll check in with him, see what he saw. I mean, we're about out of time here, so not going to be able to hear from Dan, who's been over there at the viewing window with practice today. We'll get his report on who was lined up where and things like that. Quarterback, receiver. That was pretty much the plan for today. We'll talk with Dan tomorrow. Jason Caldwell will be in with us for hour number one. We'll get his expert thoughts as to how things are going. And Jason had some spies over there for the scrimmage this past week. We'll get a little insight on what he thought about the scrimmage and how Auburn stands heading into the second scrimmage coming up this Saturday. Again, our thanks to Andy Burcham, voice of the Auburn Tigers, coming in in hour number one. That is a regular thing, so make your plans for joining us in hour one for Andy, and then Jake Crane, our regular Tuesday hour two guest. We're out of time here on the Tuesday edition of The Drive. As I mentioned, Jason Caldwell in. Bill and Dan should be back tomorrow. I'm planning. I don't know. It's the first day of class. We'll see. If I survive that, I'll be here. Dan better be. That's going to do it for today, though, everybody. Have a good one. We are out of here.